Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. His name is Yoel Ben Israel, and he and I met through a Facebook group called Christian Podcasters. And you are just going to be blessed by what the Holy Spirit has led him to share today. And if you're new to us, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you found us. And if you're a longtime listener, or at least a one-time listener, and you love the podcast, please rate it in Spotify or Apple Podcasts so people can know that people are liking it. And then the algorithm can share it with more people, and then more people can be encouraged. So we're going to have Yoel then introduce us. Oh, before we get going, we'll have him do an opening prayer, and then we'll get into it. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you all so very much for having me on. And yes, I'll take care to say an opening prayer as well.
Thank you.
King Yahweh, we thank you so very much for this beautiful opportunity to come together and to talk about you, to glorify you, to pour out our hearts regarding what you have done for us, what you're doing inside of us, and what you're doing through us. We thank you so very much for this time on your Shabbat to be able to relax and to focus on you as well. And I pray that you continue to pour into all of us, everybody who is working on this podcast, who the hosts, who's people who are working behind the scenes, the audio editor, and the audience who will listen to this episode and future episodes as well. I pray that you will continue to use this podcast to advance ultimately your kingdom of heaven and to invite lost souls into the kingdom of heaven, all for your glory. Mm-hmm. We thank you and we love you so very much. And it is in the authority of your son that you sent to die for us and that you resurrected. It's in the name of your son, the Messiah, Yehoshua HaMashiach, that we thank you, our King. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that. So where would you like to get started? I know you have a lot to share, so let's go ahead.
Yes. So I would like to start, I guess, at the beginning of what your audience, and kind of like demystify who I am, because people may be like, well, who is this guy?
Yeah.
That you guys are interviewing.
We find a lot of interesting people, and the Holy Spirit's guiding us to everybody, so you never know what you're going to get.
This is just a really interesting journey.
Yes, indeed. So my name is, as they eloquently said already, Yoel Ben Yisrael. And my journey, to kind of give you all, I guess, a truncated version, but to give you enough details so that you can know more about me. I was born in Southfield, Michigan, to two lovely parents. My mom and my dad, they were together for a time, but they divorced when I was relatively young. So I spent most of my life growing up with my mom and my younger brother. I still keep in contact with my father as well, too. And we have a beautiful relationship, actually. I feel like King Yahweh, he's really doing something beautiful between the two of us as regards to a father and son dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so my mom, she would take my brother and I to a place called the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. So essentially, I was born into what is called, it's a real long name, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania, aka the Jehovah's Witness denomination, to make it short. So I was born into this, the Watchtower Society, and for the most part, I really love the organization. I still love the people till this day. And so my mom took us when we were relatively young, my brother and I, and we were frequent in Kingdom Halls, so much so that I really became interested in this book called the Bible. Because for me, I feel like I've always been this really deep existential thinker, always questioning. And I feel like my mom, she had like the patience of Job. It's entertaining all of my questions, like, you know, why is the sun hot, or why is the sky blue, or why do the clouds look like that and like cotton candy wisp in the sky? Like, what's up with everything? What's up with this thing called life? So me asking all these questions, and the Bible just seemed to be this beautiful book, this library, if you will, that really helped engage the reader to think deeper and to think in a intellectual way, yes, but I think also in a spiritual manner that really helps us understand the purpose of life, why we're here, and who our Creator is, and things of this nature. So I went to the Kingdom Hall and I got so fascinated, and I began to have a zeal for this religion. And to the point where I matriculated into what's called the Theocratic Ministry School. And so essentially this school is basically like a seminary, so to say, for Jehovah's Witnesses, to teach us how to share our worldview as Jehovah's Witnesses to the outside world, essentially. And so I just remember getting my very first talk, because what they call sermons, talks. And so my very first talk or sermon, it was a Bible reading. And so I remember just taking that. They gave me a small white slip, and I took this white slip home, and it had the portion that I was going to read of scripture. And I just remember just pouring over those scriptures, just reading those scriptures over and over and over again, to the point where I try my best to almost memorize it, because I didn't want to miss a period, a comma, an exclamation point. I wanted to make sure that the reading was perfect. And so the night came, and my family came to support me in this endeavor, my first public Bible reading. So, and I went up there, I read it. And when I got done reading, I heard this thunderous applause from the audience, and just to look up, and to see my mom smiling, and to see my dad, and to see my brother, and all these familiar faces, all my loved ones just showering me with this support, just cheering me along the way of this, me taking more steps deeper into my spiritual journey, that got me hooked. And so I began to go from there to give more public sermons, public discourses. And then I went to what is called field service or door-to-door evangelism. And so you all may know that they, when we go from door to door, sometimes you get people who are really just, they're excited. They're excited to see you. They're excited to talk about the Bible, and they're excited to talk about God and religion and what's going on in the world. And then you have others who, you know, they're not so excited. They close their blinds, and we knock on the door, and they say, "We're not home, but we heard you say you're not home, so you're kind of our home." And so I went through that for years. I was a Jehovah's Witness for decades. And then there came a time where when I became a teenager, I became 18 to fast forward it. And I began to go through this identity crisis, this existential identity crisis about myself. And essentially what I feel like really was the catalyst for this was, I think it was two things. One, I really do think that it was Yah really trying to get me to ask him deeper questions than I was already asking him when I look back at it at 2020. But then also too, I went to a high school that was very multicultural. And so seeing all these different cultures, it really began to provoke or galvanize me to want to know more about my own culture. You know, and I guess for those who are African American, they would know that we could all come to a point where we're searching for our culture. We're trying to trace it past slavery and go beyond slave ships, and we're trying to find out, you know, where do we come from, our ethnicity and things of that nature. I mean, so I got to a point within my spiritual journey within this religion, to where my ethnicity began to wrestle with my Jehovah's Witness religion. And I feel like this wrestling really began me my journey to really know Yahweh, who I call Jehovah back then, on a much deeper level. And so fast forwarding, when I graduated high school, and I'm still wrestling with this question, and this nagging question of, who am I? Why am I here? And I'm also asking, I'm getting to the point where I'm asking God about the condition of the African-American. I'm asking him a hard question about slavery. Why did slavery happen? The transatlantic slave trade, 400 years of slavery. Why did all these things happen? And so I'm asking him these questions. And he's such a good father. And I feel like no question is too big for him. And no question is intimidating to him, because he answered me in such a beautiful way. I feel like, because I was going to my religion, and I'm also to the elders and asking them questions. And to tell you all this too, to be even more transparent, I actually called the headquarters in New York City.
Went to the top.
Yes.
I'm getting answers.
I went to the big wigs. I need to know. So I asked some questions about slavery and about the things that happened in American history, African Americans, and I just couldn't find any satisfactory answers. But I think this is a lesson that y'all wanted me to glean, and I think this is gonna bless the audience as well. Is that sometimes when we have questions, we go to our religion first, and we don't go to the Creator. Even today, when I think about me being a millennial, sometimes I'll go to Google first, or I'll go to a ChatGPT first, as opposed to going to King Yahweh first. And so I feel like he was teaching me that lesson, that he wants that intimacy. He wants that us to start that conversation with him and ask him those hard questions, because he's only going to reveal to us the pristine, pure, unadulterated truth, right? So I went to my mother's basement because there were some things happening within America that were really just perturbing my spirit. Like, for example, when Trayvon Martin got killed by George Zimmerman, things like this began to really just really sadden me in a way regarding the state of America and me thinking that America has gotten past this rather, I guess, sophomoric or juvenile attitude of discriminating against people because of they have a certain skin color. So I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, I walked down into my mom's basement, and I got on both knees, and I put my head to the basement floor, and I began to pray to Jehovah God and to ask him just about everything, to ask him to ask him questions like, who am I? Like, why are my people going through such a struggle within America? Ask him about police brutality and everything. And lo and behold, he guided me back to his word. And when he guided me back to his word, he took me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it was so beautiful because I believe that the King of Heaven, King Yahweh, being our Father, he knows each and every one of his children individualistically. And he already knew how much of a history nerd that I already was. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he was playing to my forte regarding reading history. So I would always read about history, especially when it comes to African-American history. And I began to read the Bible, to read Deuteronomy 28, and to line up different things that happened within African-American history. And to kind of fast forward a little bit more, I've realized that a lot of things that have happened to African-Americans, the root of it is sin. The root of it is disobedience. The root of it is deviating from our loving Heavenly Father and from the King of Heaven and going our own way. As it talks about within Scripture in Isaiah 53, we have all, like sheep, we've all gone our own way. And that blew my mind. But then also, upon doing further research, King Yahweh began to reveal to me that I actually had bloodline ties to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And once he revealed this to me, things really started to make a lot more sense. So I began to really embrace my Hebraic identity, being a man of Hebrew ethnicity. And this is where I came into a fork in the road with my religion, because I began to read the Bible more and more, not so much so with the running commentary of the Watchtower Society and with their canon, their canonical literature, but just me, the Father, and I feel like the Holy Spirit just guiding me. And I kind of feel like the Apostle Paul, when scales began to fall off my eyes, and I began to see that what my religion was teaching me as a Jehovah's Witness, it really wasn't congruent or harmonious with what the Bible was saying to me. And so after getting this new information, in my zeal, I went on Facebook, and I, you know, as a quintessential millennial, I began making I made a Facebook post about what I was learning. And this eventually caught wind of the leadership of the Kingdom Hall that I was going to. Yes. Man. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. You are spot on.
You're like, hey, what's going on here?
And so I remember distinctly, it was a Thursday night, and we had switched Kingdom Hall. So at this point, my younger brother Dominique wasn't going to the Kingdom Hall. I was more zealous for the religion. And my mom and I, we had switched going from a predominantly African-American Kingdom Hall to a predominantly like a white Kingdom Hall. And I'm still active. I'm reading from the stage. I'm carrying the roving microphone.
You're dedicated. You are in it.
Yes. Yes. Like I am knee deep.
Yeah. There's a lot of Christians. They want to dedicate themselves to sharing Jesus door to door. And
yes,
you know, like that's a dedication. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to pivot just a little bit to go along with the Bible and what the Word says, the truth. And
yes.
And then, so what happened next?
Yes, so I remember distinctly one Thursday night, I was going into the Kingdom Hall and I got this tap on my shoulder, and it was a dear brother of mine, Brother Ramey, and he whispered into my ear and he said, you don't have to carry the microphone tonight. And I was like, okay. This is very interesting. So I heard what he said. So I sat down, and it was a regular, normal meeting. You know, they went through the Watchtower study, and they went through the different publications that they have. And then, but after the meeting concluded, I got another tap on my shoulder, and it was from another dear brother who I still have love for, Brother Nico Salamos. He asked me, he said, do you mind coming to the back room for a minute? And I was like, again. I'm like, this is very interesting. I'm like, okay. So I picked up my black briefcase with my Bible in it, the New World Translation, what the Jehovah's Witness used. So I had that, and I'm following him to the back room. And in this back room, he opens the door. And in the back room, there are seated two elders and one younger brother. So it is Nico, and there are three other brothers within this room. And they asked me to sit down, and so I sit down, and Nico proceeds to sit down. And what he does is he takes out his iPad, and he begins to scroll, and he scrolls on, he's on Facebook, mind you. And he scrolls up to the post that I had recently posted about the new information that I had been learning about me being a Hebrew, about my Israelite ancestry, about us. We should do our best to strive to honor the laws of the Bible, to live as the Bible says. And he began to ask me, he began to say, so what's up with these posts, man? Like what is going on with you and these posts? Like, this is not what we teach within the Watchtower Society. And so I began to articulate and to elucidate what I was learning. And long story short, and you guys, you caught it already, they really didn't, you know, it didn't go over too well. So what they did was I was stripped of all of my privileges of carrying a microphone, of going out from door-to-door evangelism, from speaking, from giving public talks. And after a series of more conversations about me learning the Hebrew language and me learning that Jehovah is one pronunciation, but then seeing pronunciations like Yahweh and seeing Yahshua and reading the Hebrew more and more, and seeing that this book that we call the Bible, and this is maybe shocking to some people, but it wasn't written in 16th century Elizabethan English originally. It was written within Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And when I began to really study this out, one meeting sealed the deal for me. And this is where the fork in the road comes to me actually leaving and being what they call disassociated from the Watchtower Society. I went to my friend's house, Mateo, a very, very good friend of mine. And he said that, you know, I haven't been seeing you at the Kingdom Hall lately. What's going on with you? And so I said, man, I got to share with you what I've been learning. And I was so excited. I went to his home sat down on his couch, put out my phone, and I was showing him God's name, Yahweh, within Hebrew. And this was on the Bible Hub website. And this was the moment when I feel like King Yahweh was showing me that I'm leading you in another direction. I pulled up the website, Bible Hub, and I was showing him about the name. And here's the letter Yod and the Hey and the Wall and the Hey. And here's the vocalization. And without missing a beat, he said to me, he said, we should not be on this demonic website.
Hmm.
Once I heard that, I began to get emotional, because that's when I knew you all that was going to be the last conversation that I was going to be able to have with Mateo, because I was going to have to leave the religious organization. Because the thing is, you don't know you're being brainwashed while you're being brainwashed. And you don't know that people are controlling information that you can look at while you're in the middle and midst of that particular organization. Mm-hmm. And I just had this thought be impressed on me that if you stay Yoel, you are going to become just like that. And so I decided that what I need to do is I need to write my letter of disassociation from the organization. So I did that. And so I broke away. And for a long time, it was just me, the Bible, and my Heavenly Father, King Yahweh. Just me. I feel like during this time, I was going through this deconstruction period of my faith. Everything that I learned from the Watchtower because I left when I was about 22. For those 20 plus decades, it was all being deconstructed. And that can be a very scary thing, especially when you're by yourself. And I know that with the younger generation, Generation Z and Generation Alpha as well, that they go through that as well. Millennials too. But I love how loving our Father is, and how I feel like he held my hand through the entire process and showed me that just like how I called Abraham in Genesis 12 to leave what was familiar, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave your kindred, and go to this land that I'm calling you to go to. I feel like he was doing that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was guiding me on this journey to not a religion, but to actually enter into his kingdom, mm-hmm, of heaven. And that I guess leads me into probably the this is the punchline of the entire story. Being a Jehovah's Witness, the hallmark was the whole door-to-door thing. Mormons are known for, you know, being on their bicycles and being going doing evangelism as well too. But that's the hallmark for us, going from door-to-door and preaching the good news. Mm-hmm. But the punchline is, I didn't hear the good news until I left the organization that was supposed to be preaching it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the good news until I came across a man by the name of Dr. Miles Monroe during the summer of 2022. My wife and I were celebrating the biblical Feast of Weeks in Leviticus 23. And I just had this, I don't know if y'all have ever had this feeling of like, yes, I'm reading the word and I feel like I'm being a quote unquote good believer. But simultaneously, I feel like something is still missing. And with me, that something that was missing is, I feel like I was missing something regarding the good news message. Because at this point, yes, I left the Watchtower Society, but I fell into two other religions, Messianic Judaism or Messianic Talmudism. And then when it comes to Messianic Judaism, I kind of put my big toe into the pool. I didn't cannonball all the way in, but I left that one. Then I fell into another religion called Hebrew Israelism. When I say I cannonballed and plunged into that one, yeah, like I was soaking wet and everything regarding that particular religion. But within that religion, I feel like something was still missing, and that was the good news. And so I came across Dr. Miles Monroe, and I heard him talking with a guy named Benny Hinn. I had never heard of these two characters before, these two men. He was in Nassau, Bahamas, and he was talking about the good news. And he was saying he kept on saying that, yeah, you know, the Messiah preached about the kingdom of heaven and its arrival. And I was like, huh? What is he talking about? Like, no, didn't he preach about something else? And so this began to really pique my curiosity, and I went to the Hebrew text of Matthew. And when I read it for myself, you all, because I was really cynical, because I was like, nah, like, I don't know if Dr. Miles is here. I don't know if he really knows what he's saying here. But when I read it in the Hebrew text for myself, and I actually saw the plain words of our Messiah, of our rabbi, what he said in the Hebrew text, I was like, whoa, this is actually what he preached. And this is actually what I need to preach. But when I read it, I read five words within the Hebrew, and I'll say them real fast, and I'll take it to translate it and conclude here. But I read in Matthew 4:17, five words in Hebrew, Shubu ki hagia makuta shamayim, which essentially mean to repent or to change our mindset because the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Mm-hmm. And when I heard this, I probably did the same dance that you all did when you all played the funky music mm-hmm. intro to your podcast. Because I feel like I'm an evangelist, but I also love to write as well too. And I love to break down scripture. I feel like this was the biggest missing puzzle piece that had finally come, it finally clicked for me. And then the Bible began to really make sense, because I began to look at the Bible not so much as a religious book anymore, but to look at it as a kingdom book. And the overarching theme of the Messiah's ministry was all about the kingdom of heaven. And I began to see it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it just blew me away. And it still blows me away today how King Yahweh can take us from a point where we are so zealous for our religion, but we're not zealous for a relationship with him. And how he took me from being zealous for, I guess, almost like the Apostle Paul, being so zealous for his religion, so zealous for Pharisaism, but then on that road to Damascus, he encounters the way, the truth, and the life, falls to the ground, being humbled, being blinded for 3 days, but then his eyes finally being opened, I think, both physically but also spiritually, that there was so many things that you haven't learned yet. And we have a loving Heavenly Father who is the King of Heaven, who wants us to, who is waiting for us to show up to his classroom, so to say, so he can teach us about his Kingdom of Heaven curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so that has really been on my heart to share and to learn more about the Kingdom of Heaven. And I guess what I'll do is share why I think that this good news message, why it's so important. I feel like the good news message about the Kingdom of Heaven is so important because for the Israelite, for the Gentile, for the Jew, for the Greek. And I talk about this within the book, A Little Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen. We all have lost something. And what I mean by that is we all have lost this inheritance called the Kingdom of Heaven. And when I look in scripture, I see that our first parents, Adam and Eve, they didn't really lose their religion, but they lost their relationship with the King of Heaven via having citizenship within his kingdom. And when I read scriptures like Genesis 1:26, and when our Heavenly Father says, let's make mankind in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the entire earth, that's exactly what I feel like we were all created for. And the only way that we are going to have true dominion in a way that's not in a totalitarian manner, that's not in a dictator-esque manner, but in a way that's loving, that's kind, that's caring, that's reflecting all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is if we are born again, born from above through water and the Holy Spirit. And when we're born twice, and we now are, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're now reconnected with our home government, with the Kingdom of Heaven, to where we can now advance our Father's government by healing the sick, by raising the dead, by cleansing lepers, by casting out demons. Anywhere where there's darkness, we, just like our Savior, just like our Rabbi, the Messiah, Yehoshua, we are able to bring heaven to earth. And I feel like it's just really up to us as citizens of heaven to make this place called earth look a little bit more so like heaven. So yes, yeah, so, and one last thing, I've been looking at what I get what's called in the scripture the keys or the keys of heaven, and how in Matthew 16 the Messiah, he talks about giving us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I think that this will be very encouraging regarding your audience. I think this is going to bless the audience as well too, regarding one of the keys of heaven. One of the principles is this thing called kingdom commonwealth. I think that as believers, when things get tough, I think especially financially, and it's crazy. I'm saying this because I just got done stressing out about finances and things of that nature. But I feel like I think this is going to help somebody as well, put things in perspective. Within a kingdom, the economic system, it's called commonwealth. And what that essentially means is that the wealth within a kingdom is common because all of us, all the law-abiding citizenry, we all have equal access to the king's riches, to his wealth, and to his resources. And so that means that if I am in need of something, whether it be food, whether it be water, whether it be clothing, whether it be shelter, whether it be finances, whatever it may be, this means that as long as we are law-abiding citizens, and as long as we seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, we're in right standing with the government by being law-abiding citizens, then the king, since he owns everything and he owns everybody who was on earth, he can shift resources, wealth, or riches to his citizenry whenever they need it. And I guess a prime example of this, yes, I guess a prime example of this is when the Messiah in Matthew 21, he was telling his students that it's time for me to be crucified, essentially. And he told them that when you go to this certain place, go and unhook this colt from this donkey. And if anybody asks you, anybody says, well, wait, like, well, what are you doing? Like that's mine, that's my colt, that's my donkey. He tells them, that the Lord has need of it. The Lord needs this. And right away, they're going to send it to you. And so what that speaks to me regarding kingdom commonwealth is that within the kingdom of heaven, we don't own anything, but we have access to everything. And so what that means is that before the Messiah, before he was born, there was this man who was grooming this donkey, who was feeding this donkey, who was taking care of it every day, every month, every year, until it came time for the owner of it, the owner of that donkey, his heavenly father, said, my son, he needs this now to fulfill Zechariah 9:9, to fulfill prophecy. And so when it came to that point, I think that person realized that I was just meant to be a sublime steward and a magnificent manager over what the King of Heaven put under my managerial care. I didn't own this donkey, but the owner owns it, and the owner needs it. And so that's what kingdom commonwealth is that wealth in the kingdom is common, and King Yahweh, the owner, he owns everything and everyone on earth. And so whatever we need at whatever moment, he can call for it because he owns it. He made that donkey. He made that colt. And he used his son to talk to his disciples, his students, and say, now is the time for me to fulfill my mission and to die for your sins and to bring the kingdom of heaven back to earth. And this donkey is me fulfilling prophecy. And when you go ask him for it, tell him that the owner needs it. And so I feel like that I pray that that's going to encourage somebody, that if you're out there and you're listening and you're going through like hard times, struggling to make ends meet financially, or you feel like you're always lacking something, I would just encourage you to, if you're not already a citizen, to one, to become a citizen of this beautiful kingdom called heaven, and two, to know that within this kingdom, the provision is omnidirectional. It can come from any direction, not just your job or your 9-to-5 or what you're doing on the side, or whether you're a solopreneur or what have you. It can come from any direction. And we see this all throughout scripture. And so I would just like to encourage the listenership that will tune into this, is that we serve the King who is doubly rich and doubly infinitely rich. He owns everything in heaven, and he owns everything on earth. And so as long as we come to him and put him and his kingdom first, then we'll lack absolutely positively nothing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Amen.
Yes, and so I pray that's a blessing to somebody out there who's listening. I pray me sharing my testimony and me sharing about the kingdom and how the kingdom is really how we, through the kingdom of heaven, by being a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's really going to help us to make the world and ultimately a better place, and it's really going to help people to see that there is a creator, there is an ultimate God, an ultimate judge, a king who loves us, and he wants us not to be stressed out, not to worry, not to listen to and to believe the lies of Satan and the adversary, but to actually come back home, to come back and to enter into his kingdom in our very lifetime, within our very generation.
I am reminded of Matthew 6:33. You mentioned it. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And you were seeking answers, and you're like, I'm going to the Bible. Some people say basic instructions before leaving earth. And like, the one part, it made me think Jesus is the one we need to go to first for answers. Like, we were having a conversation at like a Christmas dinner, and my niece, you know, she's young, and like young, and she was talking about this one topic, and of course my mom, being the grandparents, she just spills it. She's like, you shouldn't do that. But then I'm like, did you consider asking the Bible and seeing what the Bible says about that? And she's like, no, I didn't even think about that. And I'm like, yeah, this is like things that people don't generally think about, but it leads you to the right direction, because you're like, oh my gosh, I've been going in the wrong direction this whole time. And then you got answers, and that, you know, he discipled you, God discipled you personally. And that's what he did for my husband as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because nobody came alongside him once he, you know, got baptized.
No. I accepted Jesus, and it was a congratulations handshake, and then you're on your own.
Good luck, you know.
Wow.
Cultivate away. And so I'm stubborn, and so is God, and he got through to me, and he continues to work in my life in the hardest ways possible for me, because that's the way I learn.
I can relate.
But he led you both to the truth and him, and when you were seeking that relationship, it opened up a plethora of knowledge and truths, and it was life-changing for both of you.
That's right. Absolutely right.
I bet a lot of people weren't expecting that at the beginning. Like, oh, I was a Jehovah's Witness. And I'm like, just wait.
Yes, yeah. The journey has been so amazing, and I always say Hollywood couldn't have written a better script. And I feel like the best story is told by our Heavenly Father. The best journeys are directed by him. The best testimonies are formed by him. And yeah, like there's no better person to go to whenever we feel like we are just stuck, or that we're losing in life and in general, that who better to go to than the creator of life? Who better to go to than the manufacturer who created, who knows us, who knows how we work, who knows our thoughts, who knows how we think, how we move, who knows our secret motives, who knows our agenda when people can't see it. who better to go to than the one who is omniscient, who knows everything about us that maybe even our spouse may not even know, but the King who formed us together in our mother's womb, He knows us so intimately. Who better to go to and to ask questions than the Almighty King Yahweh? And so I'm the journey that He's given me, and I feel like that I'm still on. Mm-hmm. It's blessing of an adventure, and yeah, like I through the hardship, the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride that He took me, that I feel like I went through. I wouldn't change anything because I feel like it all worked together for our good. And anything He allows us to go through, He could turn that test into a testimony. He can make our message into our message. And I feel like that's what He wants to do with every single person who seeks Him earnestly and who seeks Him with a pure heart as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. What a difference it makes leaning into Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Life-changing. Yes.
Absolutely life changing. My life has, since I left the Watchtower, and since I've been reading the Bible in Hebrew and studying it, and learning that the kingdom is here and that it's our existential reality. Yeah, my life has never been the same. It has been radically optimized in ways that I couldn't even dream up in my wildest imagination.
Mm-hmm. I'm part of this group called Kingdom Seekers. There's an app, and every January they do a 31-day wisdom challenge. And so I've been part of it all this year. And Pedro Deo, he was talking about the Third Heaven Authority, basically. There's actually a book written by Mike Thompson called Third Heaven Authority. And he talks about when you're praying from that third heaven, like from the throne room of heaven, you're over the circumstances instead of praying from the circumstances in your earthly realm, like the first heaven. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, wow. Depending on your perspective on where you pray from, it can like level up your prayer. So like, if you're praying from your circumstances, it's like 30 times powerful than just doing nothing. But then when you pray from your third heaven authority, it's like 100x-ing it. And it just changes things. And I was thinking when you talked about God can change. He owns all the resources. And we went through 27 months of no, and 1 week of no discernible income. And we didn't lose the house, the utilities, nothing. And every
no interruption service,
nothing. And God kept showing up, and we kept tithing on every single dollar that came into the house,
every scrap.
Even if it was $2 on 20 bucks, we just kept giving because you can't outgive God. When He owns everything, He can make it come in. And
right. Yeah. Amazing. You know, we're ambassadors here. This isn't our home. So, of course, God owns it. It doesn't belong to us. And absolutely. So we shouldn't want to have this world. This isn't for us. This is for us to go and reach out and tell people of His word and of His Son and of His deeds give Him glory. It's not supposed to be something I hold attachment to. And I'm very grateful that God manages the resources He gives to me, because sometimes I can be an idiot. And I need someone who knows what He's doing in charge of me. And I'm so very grateful that God is that one.
Yes. I want to give this kind of like a parable, because I kind of feel like this will help people to understand all the more so what it's like to operate within the kingdom of heaven, and also I think operate from a kingdom mindset as well. And so I give this parable of the kingdom of heaven being like a millionaire who walks into a Walmart, and this millionaire, he has money and he has millions, so he goes around and he buys whatever he wants: food, clothes, the latest and greatest electronics, whatever his heart's desire. He buys all that stuff and with his money, with his credit card, with his finances. And he walks out the store and he goes back to his home. But then there's this second man who walks into the same Walmart, and he has nothing within his pockets. He has no money. He's like, I mean, just broke as a joke. He's been laid off for job. He got fired. The economy, it's been rough on him. And he goes and he's walking around the Walmart and he's looking at all the food and the rotisserie chicken and looking at the clothes and the big screen TVs. He has faith that he said, like, man, you know, one day I'm going to be able to go back home to my family and provide this for them. But as he's walking out of the Walmart, he encounters the owner of the Walmart. And the owner of the Walmart says to him, you know what? You've been coming to this store and you've been just so nice and so respectful to everybody, to the staff, to the new cashier, to the trainee, to the janitor, to everybody within this store. And we watch you on our cameras and you're just so faithful to this store and you treat everybody with such love and such respect. I want to do something for you. And the owner reaches into his pocket and he pulls out this 24/7 access key card and he gives it to the man and he says, you now have access to this Walmart 24/7, no matter what happens, just use this card. It'll be open to you. You have access. And whatever you want to get for it, just get it. But the man says, I don't have any money though. I don't have a wallet. I have nothing. I don't have a bank. I don't have anything. And the owner says, don't worry. It's all on the house. And the owner walks away. Out of that scenario, I would rather be not the millionaire. I would rather want to be the man who has that 24/7 access card, because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. In democracies in America, we spell wealth M-O-N-E-Y, but in the kingdom, wealth is spelled A-C-C-E-S-S, access. And so being able to access what we need from the owner, our Heavenly Father, we are able to go to him whenever we need to, pray to him whenever we need to, ask him whatever we want, whatever we have, what's on our heart. And we are able to not just rely on America's economy, but we're able to rely on a far more superior economy, call it the economy of heaven, which the last time that I checked, heaven, the economy of heaven has no recession, no bankruptcy. The stock market is not crashing, no inflation. It's always super abundant. It's always a thriving economy. And I believe that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's just like that man who got this 24/7 access card and he can go in and he can get whatever he wants because the owner says, I'm covering you. I will provide for you. Just trust in me. Manage what you have. Manage what I'm giving you. And everything that you need, everything that needs to be provided to you, it will come from the owner. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like. It's like living within the kingdom of heaven.
I feel most Christians miss out on that. And that's why we have the story of the prodigal son or the older brother that stayed behind. Feel some kind of way when he actually had access the whole time and he just didn't realize what he held.
Wow.
Right? He was like a prisoner because he didn't know how to use the card he had.
Wow. That is so true. That is so true. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yoel, I'm so very grateful to have you today. You've come from a lot and I appreciate the discernment you used while going to the Word. I appreciate that God spoke to you through the Word and shifted your perspective enough to align yourself with Jesus. It's just an incredible journey, and it's not something that you could do alone, that clearly God was behind you and inspirational for you, and the Holy Spirit is leading you. Thank you for being on this show.
Wow. Wow. Thank Hallelujah. You. I pray. I thank King Yahweh for you all, and I thank King Yahweh for this beautiful podcast ministry that he has you all doing together. And that is my sincere prayer, plea, and petition that this podcast will continue to thrive and continue to be that beautiful invitation to invite people into the kingdom of heaven, to enter into it. And I just thank you all that you allowed me to speak and to share my heart and to share how good the King of Heaven truly is. So thank you all so very much. I truly appreciate you all.
Thank you, sir. And if you have been blessed by this episode, we ask that you share it with a friend or family member that God brought on your heart. And don't forget, rate it, the podcast, and If you feel so led to give, we have a donation link if you in the About section of our podcast. There's four different kinds, and we would also appreciate prayers. And with that, we will talk to you next time.